This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody, on this Tuesday morning, an odd day for Jamie and I to be here. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 31st, episode 1440, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Oh my gosh.
It's Tuesday.
I'm so stressed out. I know. It's Tuesday. My husband is actually home, Glenn.
I know. I saw that. That was weird seeing you with your husband for a change.
For like a day. He leaves in the morning.
It was, and it is Tuesday, everybody. It's not Monday. You got the right day of the week. We just thought, seeing we had the holiday yesterday, that we'd do a show today, and we'd keep it kind of light and fluffy and airy, and, you know.
This just feels weird.
A whole lot of not of stress, and, you know, when you get back from a week-long weekend, it's tough. It's like, going back to work, your mind is on other things, and it's the same way for us. So, in our pre-show meeting, we pretty much were off the rails, and we don't know what's going to be happening at today's show. I have no idea.
Well, it's going to be good. We've organized a lot of fun news and news stories and lists and things for you. So Glenn may be scattered, but I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to keep us in
oh,
line.
Oh, yeah. You're always the one that's focused on this show.
Listen, if somebody is organized in this show, it's Jennifer. Coming up, what's on today's show, Jennifer?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Tuesday edition, once we have worked through our co-host weekend adventures, we're going to brush the mud off a list or two and then gallop across the horsey headlines and finally have a relaxing hand walk through the wacky world of Horse Nation. So stay tuned for the parade, folks.
And I have gotten confirmation that Leslie is up and she realizes it's Tuesday, not Monday, and she will be here. So
okay.
I've got those covered. I wanted to make sure because she's iffy on a Monday. So I wanted to double check that. All right. Daily Winnie time.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Aww.
And you got to spend it with your better half. That was cool.
I know. It was fun. He got in. I went and picked him up at the airport at like 6:45 and had a romantic dinner with my husband and our two-year-old, who was very, very not absorbing the romance of the whole thing. He was kind of a pain. So, but yeah, he's home. He has like basically his weekend or is Monday and Tuesday. So he flew in late Sunday night, and then he's going to leave super early tomorrow morning because I wanted him here today. And once I give you my Daily Winnie, I'll tell you why. Well, play it. All right, I'm going to tell you guys a story. All right. So 3 years ago today, I was right about now, actually, I my water broke and I ran to the hospital and I decided to have this child. Now, the first birthday.
Well, I'm not sure that's exactly how it happened. Yeah, maybe the child decided to come out.
He decided to come.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. This whole birthday for the kid thing is total bull. Okay. You know who should be having a party? It's the damn mama for keeping this baby alive that long. There is no, if you go to a baby's first birthday, just bring the mama a bottle of wine. There is no reason that that child should be getting a present, because it is that mama who deserves all of the credit for keeping that child alive. And now that he's approaching three, or is three today, happy birthday, baby. If you listen to this later in life, I appreciate you and I love you. I'm very tired of you, but I appreciate and love you. But it's the mom who deserves all the credit. I mean, when they're 15, you know, maybe it thins out. I don't know. You mamas of 15-year-olds are probably not thinking that, but I feel like it should be a holiday for the mom.
It's just different stress at 15. It's just different stress.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But I mean, seriously, like, this has been so hard. So today I would like to, by the way, I would also like to wish my dad a happy birthday. Yes, my child was born on his birthday. His only grandchild was born on his birthday. He thinks it's the greatest thing ever. So we're having a birthday party today, because it's a Tuesday. Why not? Chad was in town, so I decided, let's invite over just kind of the neighbor kids. You know how many people are coming to my house? 18 children.
You have a lot of neighbors.
18 children, Glenn. And because then I'm like, I can't invite people over to the party and not invite my boarders. And then my boarders, I can't invite my boarders and not invite my students. We're going to have approximately 40 humans here today, 18 of which are children. And you know how many people said no? None. They're all coming.
Yeah, you always count on about half saying no. You always count on that.
Yeah, I did. And you know what? All these losers have nothing to do on a Tuesday. So I'd come to my kid's birthday party.
Well, they all love Lucas. I mean, you cannot go to your farm without encountering the Lucas. So, no.
He's kind of his face should be on the sign out front.
Yeah, exactly.
On a picture of a horse or yet.
Exactly.
But I'm going to.
He went to urgent care the other night. Well, Friday, you mentioned on the show that he had gotten a bee sting and that his legs swelled up like a tree trunk. They just give him steroids, or what do they do?
Yeah, it did not go well. Like, he was a mess. And so, I called my pediatrician. It was just he said he got a bee sting on Thursday night, Friday morning. Like, I expected him to be fine. Friday night, he did not sleep. He was a mess. I mean, it was just a screaming nightmare all night, because things happen. Everything happens at night.
Yeah, nothing. For horses and little kids.
Horses and kids, everything happens at night. So he got a major infection from a freaking bee sting. Are you kidding me? So I call my pediatrician. I'm like, he didn't sleep. His leg is super swollen. She's like, you need to get him in right now. Right now. And I was like, okay. I don't know what would have happened otherwise, but I didn't want to think about it. So we basically rushed to urgent care, and they put him on antibiotics and steroids and Benadryl and ibuprofen. He's taking all this medicine. And that's why I said that if you have a child's birthday, you should bring something for the mama. Because this, I almost said the S word, is exhausting. I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
now, granted, I've been doing this without a husband, and single mamas, I would just send them back. I don't know. I don't know what you... There's no way.
No For way. All the pregnant ladies now listening, this is just encouraging, isn't it?
I love him. I do. I love him. I'm real tired of him. And I was talking to a girl last night, mom, she's a mom of three. She goes, oh yeah, that's normal. I was like, really? So I'm okay. Like, this is not unhealthy, right? She was like, no. She's a military wife. She's like, especially when they deploy or go to training or whatever.
That's hard.
She's like, you're normal. I was like, thank God, because I love him. I don't want to look at him. And I'm going to have a party for him today. I got to change my attitude.
Well, then you can send him off with the others. There'll be lots of people taking care of Lucas.
There you go. Fun. Somebody take the kid. We got a slip and slide.
Did you make a vegan cake?
You know, I actually was going to make because we're having a train party, because he loves trains. And this is probably boring all of you guys to death. But we're going to have I was going to make a train cake, And yeah, I don't bake. And I'm pretty terrible at stuff like that. Now I called my mom. I was like, how do you make a cake? She was like, just stop.
Yeah, like, go to the store is how you make a cake.
I said, I don't want to go to the store because there's all those toxic ingredients like corn syrup. And I've got kids coming with corn syrup allergies and glutenous. And you're trying to feed 18 children, like, and there are 40 people, there's allergies. And yeah, I don't like
I got to tell you, what's going to be worse is feeding kids a tofu cake. That's going to be even worse.
Well, no. So I called a neighbor, and she likes to bake and make food and stuff. So I paid her to make cupcakes with Thomas the Train cupcake holders.
There you go. Perfect. Put Thomas the Train on. You're good.
So Thomas cupcakes are coming, and then also we're grilling hot dogs because that's the most low maintenance food item that one could have at a party.
Yes.
Because all you need is ketchup, mustard,
and that's all kids care about anyway, so what the heck.
I mean, yeah. And don't worry, we have only turkey dogs and tofu dogs. That's all we're serving today on the menu here at Flyover Farm.
I would just be lining up for one of those tofu dogs. I would be the first in line.
You know what, my husband had one yesterday and he was like, it kind of tastes like a hot dog. I was like, well,
it's
sure.
The kind of part.
I don't know what a hot dog tastes
He's
like.
Been away. He's been in Texas eating brisket and pork barbecue for a month. He's been in heaven.
Well, welcome to hell, baby. We're having tofu hot dogs today.
He's going to be so happy to go back to meat country. He's going to be so happy. Hey, we had something fun happen over the weekend, too. Remember the film crew was here on Friday morning. And by the way, if you missed that show, you have to go back and listen to it. It was very funny.
I don't get why she's cleaning topic is so odd to random strangers.
All they could talk about. Well, they went up and they left about halfway through the show and they went up to Jacksonville and recorded another piece with some other podcasters. And then they came back and actually spent the night here and filmed all morning into the early afternoon Saturday. But all they could talk about was what they referred to as sheathing. They shortened it to sheathing, and that's all.
God.
There were more sheathing jokes, and poor Jennifer was here for the brunt of the male bonding sheathing jokes. And that's all they could talk about pretty much for 2 days. They were still laughing about it when they left.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
But they were here, and they wanted to get footage. This is for to remind everybody that didn't listen on Friday. We had a film crew here, and there were like four of them that are doing a film on podcasting and a documentary on podcasting. And the Horse Radio Network is going to be featured in this, which means we'll probably get, a minute and a half in the documentary. But they were doing, they had some fancy-ass equipment here. So they wanted to film us with the horses, with Scooter and with Nigel. So we went out in the morning and we got the horses ready. Well, they have a very fancy drone with 4D super high def camera. And this is one of your $2,000 drones, not your $50 one like I have. So we thought, well, we got to make sure that the horses are okay with the drone. So they took the drone up about 25 feet, and we hand walked the horses underneath the drone and around. Well, Scooter didn't even look. I don't know if Nigel looked at all. Did Nigel look, Jennifer?
Really? It didn't bother them a bit.
No, Scooter wasn't.
Not at all.
No, they didn't even hardly look up.
Weird.
And, this drone sounded like an angry bee. That's what it sounded like. But Nigel didn't look either, right?
No, he did not.
No.
He was too busy wondering whether or not Scooter was going to kick him.
Yeah.
He was really much more worried about that.
Yeah. So we thought, this will be good. We're fine. So we took him, we hitched him up, and Jennifer was riding, I was driving, and we took him down to our big field that is all grass and very pretty with live oak trees and moss and everything. We thought it'd make good footage. And we go down there, and they wanted a lot of footage of us just riding around beside each other and things. And it was a beautiful morning. It was just beautiful. So, and then they took the drone up, and it was okay for a little while. We were riding around, and they actually took the drone up to about 50 feet and had us riding in circles right underneath the drone.
Okay.
So that was cool. And then they...
Now, when you say we were riding in circles...
Yeah,
were
Jennifer
you riding?
Was riding... I was riding in the cart. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So we were side by side, which was kind of cool. So then... they were all over the place. There were four of them. And I drove down to the end of the field, and there was one of them down there that was kind of scared Scooter because he was standing behind a tree filming. So, you know, that kind of got Scooter. And this is a guy who has never seen a horse before, grew up, he's a hip-hop guy in Philadelphia. All right. So, and he's one of the helpers there, was filming and everything. I had met him before. So I said, well, why don't you get in the cart and get some film from inside the cart? And, you know, after he finished looking like he really didn't want to do that, he got in the cart and we were driving around. Well, I drove up to where the drone was again. And Neil, who was driving the drone, decided to get a closer view of the of his buddy in the cart and came down a little bit, and Scooter saw that and was off.
Oh my God, are you serious?
So we have this guy that's never seen a horse before in the cart with me with his camera. I had warned him, please hold on over here. Well, he had a death grip on the cart. And he kind of turned white. And for a black guy, that was interesting. He kind of turned white, and he held on, though. I got to give him credit. And Scooter did what we call, you know, it was a baby bolt. It wasn't a full-out bolt, but it was a baby bolt. I wasn't sure what Nigel was going to do at that time because we were kind of side by side. But what happened is the drone got right behind him and came down a little, so I think the sound is what got him. And I managed to get him under control, and we came around, and you know, everybody survived. I didn't lose my passenger.
Hope they put that in the documentary.
I hope that somebody got it on film. But I got to tell you, the footage that we then got to watch after was incredible. I mean, because it is like 4D. It's this super high-definition footage. They had to change out the memory disks in the cameras every 4 to 5 minutes. That's how much room this footage takes up.
Wow.
And the view from the back of Scooter, from driving behind Scooter, because the cameras...
That was so cool.
Oh, man. The cameras all have... what's it called, Jennifer? When
gimbal.
It has a gimbal on it, so it holds the camera perfectly still. So even with the bouncing of the cart, it's not moving. And you could see the individual hairs on Scooter's butt. It's that high definition. It was really cool. And then they did some side shots with a slow motion camera of the cart going by. So Scooter's in slow motion and then the wheels turning in slow motion. That gave me goosebumps. That was really neat. And then the shots from above were incredible. Just incredible shots.
That's something that most people don't ever get to see, is them, like, to see a drone of yourself out there riding your horse. How neat that experience must have been.
It was. And we were side by side a lot. So you could see the contrast in one in sizes with Scooter and Nigel, who's double his size.
And now why are they going to use this footage?
It's just as kind of what they call B-roll in the movie when they're talking about the horse radio network. They wanted, you know, when they talk about the horse radio network, they wanted to have some horses in it. Okay. So they're kind of use it as B-roll.
And there's going to be 15 seconds of it. In
yeah,
the
you know how that goes. Yeah. So, and
are
then,
they going to talk about the wiener washing?
I think that might end up a little bit in there. I don't know. They wanted to open the whole movie with that. And I said, that's probably not a good idea.
They'll be droning me clean.
You're going to lose some viewers to do
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they came in, and God, Jamie, thank God we don't do video. Then they came in and set up the studio for filming me for about 2 hours interviewing. Now, again, they'll use about 5 seconds of that, right? But it was 2 hours of them asking me questions. They set up the official lights and all the stuff in the studio, and there were guys holding the whiteboard so there were no shadows. And literally for about it took them an hour to set up and about 2 hours of answering questions. Because I would answer it one way, and they'd say, well, we like that answer, but can you change it a little? And I'd have to repeat the answer, you know? It was
I'm bored listening to you talk about
it. Oh, my gosh. Doing videos not easy.
No.
Glad we do radio. Actor.
That's why actors have trailers. So while y'all work on this stuff, I'm going to go sit down.
And you know what? It's so much easier doing what we do. The crap we put out is the crap we put out, right? So that's what's out there. We don't edit. We don't have to worry about redoing it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that if we had to redo everything we did twice?
No.
It'd just be crap the second time, too. It wouldn't be any better. So so that's it. That's that was the filming. It's going to be out. Actually, they're going to show a debut of it. I'm going to try and get you in for that at the next PodFest, which is at a very fancy resort in Orlando. So they're going to debut it at the next PodFest. So it'd be fun to get you into to see the official debut.
That'd March. Be awesome.
Yeah, that's in March. So I'll probably get a view of it ahead of time, I would hope. I hope I get to see it ahead of time. But that's the story of the filming of the movie. It's called The Messengers.
The Messengers. That sounds so like religious and gothic. Like The Messengers.
I know, it does, doesn't it? Or like it would be
it's
a horror
like,
movie.
Guys, let's talk about horse penises.
Or it'd be a horror movie, one or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we have I have another quick update for you.
Okay.
Beaker.
How's Beaker doing?
Beaker's doing great. We saw
his horse that she dumped on somebody. No, I'm just kidding. That she moved along and rehomed so she could continue her dream of getting back into jumping and eventing and get a thoroughbred.
Yeah, and because she has a thoroughbred, she couldn't even go trail riding this weekend with the whole gang because he's not quite ready for that. But Beaker got to do something
grill.
Fun.
Yeah, I helped grill over the weekend.
Yeah, she went along and helped party, but that was it. She wasn't riding.
Yeah. Oh, well.
He'll be ready in a year or two. So Beaker, who is the super brave one we see pictures of this morning, got to do something fun over the weekend. By the way, he's doing great with his new owners. They took him to the beach and had him in the water up to his chest.
Wow.
Yeah.
How fun. Gosh, that is... That's it. I've been able to do that on vacations, but never with my own horses. It's like a dream to do that on my own horse. How cool.
Yeah. So it was neat to see him. He looks very happy and it looks like they're having a great time with him. So
good.
That's wonderful. The Beaker update.
Good. That's fantastic. Now I don't know what you want to do. I've got some news for you. I've got plenty of news to keep you entertained for a while.
Can we start with McLean? Because it relates to what we talked about on Friday.
Yeah, go ahead.
McLean Ward did pretty well over the weekend. Remember, we had Erin on Friday's show from Rome. She was at a show jumping competition in Rome. And she was telling us all about it. It was a lot of fun to hear about it. Well, United States dominated the show jumping competition in Rome. More specifically, one United States guy dominated, and that was McLean Ward, who won. Now, there were five-star classes. Five stars, the top level, the highest it goes in the world in show jumping, just like everything else. Well, get this. McLean had four of the five stars he won with zero rails. No rails the entire time.
Oh, my gosh.
So as best I can calculate, he took home between 150 and 200,000 euros for his 4 days' work in Rome.
And you're in Rome, too. Just add to
Do you think
it.
He was buying pizza for everybody? Pizza for everybody. Yeah, he did all right.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, McLean Ward dominated the whole weekend. So it was nice to see the United States taking some of that money back.
That's very true. Very true. Speaking of European money, we're going to move over to the pound here, Glenn. The pound. We talked about there was a girl that was riding her horse in Britain, and she was thrown from the spooked horse when a motorcyclist rode right up next to her and spooked her horse. And I think we talked about this with Victoria. Well, the case has been wrapped. Okay. And they were never able to figure out who actually the motorist was. It was an unidentified motorcyclist. So how are you going to get paid? Well, there's a Motor Insurers Bureau, which is the body responsible for compensating victims of accidents caused by untraced or uninsured drivers. Do we have that here in the U.S.?
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen here? Oh, my gosh.
I know. It was crazy.
Some random car drove past me and it was ugly and I had PTSD.
That's exactly what it would be.
Ugly car. Pay me.
Yeah. So there's a British firm that specializes in serious and catastrophic injuries and veterinary negligence cases. And that the firm is called Horse Solicitor. Horse Solicitor took this woman, represented her, and went and sued the MIB, the Motor Insurers Bureau, again, who's responsible for uninsured drivers. And she got $1,000 for an unnamed driver spooking her horse and her falling off. I don't know how bad her injuries were. They did not say, but that's about $16,000 to $17,000 coming from that's pretty good, girl. I mean, as long as you know you're not like, I mean, it sucks if, but it's helpful.
Yeah, you would have got nothing here. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I didn't know that existed over there. Wow.
I didn't either. Something else to ask Victoria about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Very cool. Well, well, your turn. Do you have one?
Yeah.
We'll just go back and forth.
While we're in England, Queen Elizabeth decided to go riding. Apparently, it was her first ride since November. She has been having knee trouble, and she was supposed to get a knee replacement surgery, but she refused because... Now, she's freaking 90, remember? She refused because it would cause her to be 6 weeks incapacitated, and she wouldn't be able to make her appointments and to do her queenly duty for 6 weeks. She's 90. You can get your knee replaced and take 6 weeks off. It's okay. I think everybody would forgive you. But
yeah,
she,
I'm looking at these pictures like these. She is spit polished when she rides.
Yes, she is. And she was wearing her jodhpurs, and she always wears the scarf when she rides, apparently. And she was on one of her favorite horses. So you're the horse trainers over there, and you never know when the queen's going to ride. You've got to make damn well sure that you've got a quiet horse under the queen. How often do you think they work with that horse?
That's a good point. I never even thought about it.
And how much pressure are you in? Are you there with your binoculars looking and praying when she's riding? Because if this horse spooks and she falls off, it's your fault. Yeah. Huh. No pressure there.
She said that that this is her knee and her pain has not deterred her from enjoying her favorite sport. She does. It says she has joked in the past that she does not like protective headgear while riding as it spoils her hair. And recently she admitted that she prefers not to ride in the rain. I'm rather a fair weather rider. I don't like getting cold and wet. You know what? You're the freaking queen. I think we can keep you from getting cold and wet.
Exactly.
Do you see the, she's riding in this. It looks like a dressage saddle, but you can't see it because there is a massive amount of sheepskin that is wrapped around her saddle, putting her very comfortably down deep in a seat that is, it looks like she's riding on feathers.
And I wanted to ask you the picture, maybe Jennifer could post a link to this story. Is it a double bridle that she has? There's a lot of reins there.
It's not a double, like it's weird. I can't tell if it's a double bridle or not, but what it has is it does have two sets of reins, and it looks like a weird kind of Pelham bit where the top rein, if you were to pull back, kind of gives a more direct thing, and the bottom rein has the leverage. And that's probably how the guys that are responsible for taking care of the horse make it possible. They're like, okay, this is your woe rein. This is your oh shoot rein. This is your.
It's like having a private security guard along on the saddle with you.
There you go. This is your emergency parking brake.
This is the emergency brake.
Oh, you know what it is? She's got, that is a weird picture. It looks like she's got a, you're right. There are two sets of rein. Yeah, you definitely have an oh crap rein on there.
Yeah, the bottom rein is
what I noticed.
The leverage.
Yeah. Oh crap.
But I'd be getting mixed up all the time, and I'd be like putting on the emergency brake when I thought I was putting on the regular brake, and I'd be over the top anyway.
You're not the queen.
That's why you don't ride, Glenn.
Yeah.
That's why you don't ride. She's wearing boot garters. I thought that was awesome.
Oh yeah, she's wearing garters. When was the last time you saw that?
I don't even know what
the last time I participated in a pony club event.
You see the strap above her boot?
I know. Yeah, I know what it is, but why is that?
Pony clubber?
It holds up. Well, yeah. It holds up your boot because back in the day, the boots weren't super tight at the top.
So is it attached to the boot?
Yeah, there's a little loop in the back of the boot at behind your knee, and that goes through that little loop. It helps hold the boot up.
There you go.
So yeah, post this.
But somebody actually uses them.
In this picture, the queen uses them.
Well, there you go. The queen's back in the saddle, having a little fun right around the castle.
Hey, I got a fun news story for you. Oh, let's talk about Omega Alpha because they're amazing.
Yeah, and I did want to mention too, if you would like to give us a call and tell us about something fun you did over the weekend, it's 435-272-1997.
Yeah, call. That'd be awesome. We'd love to talk to you. Omega Alpha Equine is our sponsor on Mondays, and today being Tuesday, they are our sponsor as well. And I got to tell you, I am hooked on a couple different products of theirs. Obviously, Bioticate. It is a probiotic. It gets in the horse's gut. It regulates all. It's got all the really good probiotics in it that they need. And also, I'm stuck on the Minerex right now. It's been such a great mineral supplement that all the horses are using. Chili is on Sinuex, which is for his joint supplements. His knee is just a mess. So he's actually going along sound right now. I'm going to knock on wood. Chili is moving around nicely with his bum knee. He's on all sorts of stuff from Omega Alpha being the Minerex and the Sinuex and you know what, all that. And I'm like, well, I better give him some Bioticate too. So just Omega Alpha Equine, every product they have is natural, herbal, no chemicals. It's non-testable, which means that you can use it at horse shows. GastroFX is a wonderful way to just buffer your horse's stomach if they're going to have stressful things happening, like Jennifer trying to load her horse in a horse trailer and him not going.
Can I take it? Is it for human use too?
Well, you know, I really feel like I've never got a great answer from Dr. Chang about that, but I had really bad heartburn and I tried the GastroFX, and let me just tell you something, it's not delicious. I mean, not for humans. Horses might be okay with it, but
makes Pepto-Bismol tastes good.
It's really gross. Yeah, it tastes like roots and berries, you know, like they dug it up out of the dirt.
Yeah,
and they,
well, that's pretty much rotten. What it is.
Yeah, exactly. It works. So check out all their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. We just love them, and we love being a part of it, and we love that they're a part of our show.
Maybe if you mixed it with your sweet feed, it would be better.
Now, who feeds sweet feed anymore?
No, your sweet feed. It was a joke. It would taste better if you mixed it with your sweet feed.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Isn't that what vegans eat? I don't know.
We eat nuts and berries.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Pretty much it.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Hey, the 75-year-old from Japan who competed
this
in
is
the...
This such a sad
I
story.
Know.
Oh, it just breaks my heart.
I know. Remember, he competed in the last Olympics, and he was 71 at the time in London. And he was able to compete, and he was the oldest athlete to compete at the 2012 London Games. He's been training in the Netherlands and Germany, and he's been wanting to be the oldest to compete at the next Olympics in Rio. Well, it's not going to happen. Unfortunately, his horse got sick, and he can't go. So he's been doing all this, all this training and everything. He's 75. He's been out there making sure, training in the Netherlands and Germany, which obviously is the right place to be if you're training for the Olympics, and he can't go. So it was kind of a bummer.
He was going to be the oldest competing Olympian of all time.
And he's been to like seven of them or something. It's like a lot of Olympics. Yeah, he would have been the oldest.
Oh, no,
of all
he
time.
Made his Olympic debut in 1964. And was the oldest athlete to compete at the 2012 London Games.
Yeah.
Wow.
He in 1964, when he made his debut, it was in Tokyo, and he's Japanese, so it was his home country.
His home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he did not get the record back then because there was a Swedish shooter named Oscar Swan who participated in the 1920 Antwerp Games at the age of 72. So he was going to take the record this time.
That's what he was shooting for. Somebody give him a horse. McLean could afford a couple.
I mean,
he's got a lot.
Do dressage on a show jumper, whatever. Who cares? Just get it done. Hey, speaking of old, lovely older people, they're speaking of old people. I don't mean to be like that. That sounds terrible. We have a new member to the Century Club in dressage. And dressage riders, listen up. This is such a cool story. He's 20. The horse is 20. The rider, 82. The horse's name is Filibuster. And she wanted to be officially inducted. Yeah.
I like the name.
Yeah, exactly. Into the Dressage Foundation Century Club, which honors competing horse and riders whose combined age is at least 100. She said, since she's 82 and filibuster's 20, I figure we should do it now while we're still both sound. I love her attitude. She's been a board member for the Florida Equestrian Society. She's been involved with the Jacksonville Equestrian Center. She's been really entrenched in kind of the Florida sports, Florida horse sports. So she performed her dressage test before a rated judge, and she was rewarded with a ribbon, because I guess you just get like inducted into the Century Club and you get a trophy. Now, she was doing, she said, the story goes to say, despite masterfully completing her test, even though filibuster spooked at a dog that took interest in the pair, she doesn't show horses very often. She basically says she likes to trail ride and hang out with horses. But like, seriously, somebody can't freaking keep their dog from spooking the 82-year-old woman's horse? God. Put the thing on the leash.
There was another one that I just read about. I just pulled up the story. It was an 80-year-old equestrian, but it was in Canada. And Hanson, it's a guy, and he's 80 years old. I'm trying to find his name. It was Edgel Hanson, and he's 80, and his horse O'Malley is 21. So their combined ages were 101, and they became a member of the Dressage Foundation Century Club. So, and he was a dressage rider and just, you know, is thrilled to become a member. And I think that Reese and Philip are going to try and get him on the show. So
let's all show. Right now, let's make this a personal goal of ours, ladies and gentlemen, is if you get up there, just go for it. Let's all promise that we're gonna give it a try.
One, make it to 80, and then have a horse that's 20. Yeah,
I think having a horse that's 20 is the easy part.
Yeah, you can always find a horse that's 20, right?
Yeah,
that's no problem. Might be the
and her name, by the way, is Olwen Bush. Olwen Bush. So congratulations to Olwen and Filibuster. They're members of the Century Club. He's a very tall, flea bitten gray, because at 20. What else is he going to be besides a flea bitten gray?
I also want to congratulate a thoroughbred gelding who became the one of the first horses to receive an honorary degree of the Master Equine Educator at UC Davis in California.
He's a doctor.
Dr. Teddy received his degree on the same day as 137 students received their doctorates of veterinary medicine degrees. This 19-year-old horse has helped the students learn equine health and at more than two dozen appointments, and he's been staying at the school for the past year and apparently has been a dream to work with. It's the first horse they've ever done this with. He helped the prospective doctors on their clinical rotations. He helped them with learning about shots and all that kind of stuff. But it's the first time that they've... Apparently, he was such a cool horse that the students requested that this happen, and he even got a little cap. He didn't get a gown, but he got a cap, and he attended the ceremony and was given his doctorate. So he is Dr. Teddy now.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
Dr.
I thought that was
Teddy.
A cool story, Dr. Teddy. And that I think he's going to stay for another year. It looks like he's going to hang around for another year.
Very cool. I've got a really weird...
Now, shouldn't they really be getting the horse that's a total pain in the ass to learn with?
Yeah.
That's going to try and kick them.
This is real life.
Yeah, this is what it's really like in the real world.
This is how things really are if you become an equine vet.
Yep.
You know the horse we've talked about going into the Belmont, to the Kentucky Derby? His name was Sudden Breaking News.
Yes. That was the name I liked.
Yes, yeah. You like that name. So follow me on this one. The owner is a guy named Samuel Henderson. And Henderson paid $72,000 for Sudden Breaking News at the 2014 Kentucky Keeneland September yearling sale, where he was cataloged as a colt. But it's been listed that he's a gelding. throughout his racing career because Henderson ordered the colt to be gelded. But when the farm where he was raised and got his early foundation training, it was discovered that the operation never happened. They have no paperwork on this horse being gelded, but he's listed as a gelding, but he was listed as a colt, but nobody ever gelded him. They're like, what's going on? What do? They decide to ultrasound him, and he has testicles that are undescended. So he's actually a ridgeling. He's been a stallion. This whole time they thought he was a gelding, and they're like, hey, anybody got that paperwork? No? Okay, let's look into that. Oh, there is no paperwork. He was never gelded, but he has no balls. But he's a gelding, but he's not a gelding. So he's actually not gelded at all. They said that he's now an official ridgeling. Isn't this weird?
So you is that an official thing on the papers? You become a ridgeling?
You become an official ridgeling. I didn't know that.
I knew they had stallions and geldings, but I didn't know ridgeling was an actual listing.
Well, I think they have crypt orchids listed too, which means they have one undescended testicle. So he's now on his papers an official ridgeling.
And what does it matter, by the way?
Because if you breed I'm not familiar with ridgelings, but if you wanted to castrate a ridgeling, it's a really expensive, rather involved surgery.
What's it mean for him racing, but there's certain races he could be in or not in?
No, I think basically it means, that you see he's a gelding, but he acts like a stallion. I mean, they still have all that testosterone. And the problem is that this is genetic. So I worked for a guy that had a crypt orchid and he was breeding him. And I'm like, what are you doing breeding this? Because the babies come out as crypt orchids too. And then those are, they're really expensive to castrate. So people end up having all these. I've worked for some pretty trashy people in Kentucky, by the way. but he's a ridgeling. And I think that basically it's a genetic condition where he would breed ridgelings. And so you want to geld him, but because he's a big giant stallion and then you've got to lay him down and it's a very dangerous surgery. They said, here they go to say, I think on the ultrasound, they were, bless his little heart. I think on the ultrasound, they were rather small. And with both of them being in his abdomen at this point, I don't think that they would descend. The part of the testicles descending is the temperature of the sperm that's alive. So they're too hot. God, if only your guys from the thing were in the studio now.
I know. I was thinking that, actually.
Basically, he's still
They would
still
pretty
running.
Much think about that we talked about this every day.
Oh, my God. So basically he breezed over the weekend and he's really fast. So good luck to sudden breaking news.
One more and then I have a list for you. I want to give a shout out.
And by the way, guess who his jockey is for the Belmont?
Mike Smith.
Yeah, whatever.
I wanted to give a shout out to a good friend of the Horse Radio Network. She's been on our shows many, many, many times. And she got some love by ESPN. Did a story on her. Yes, ESPN acknowledging the horse world. She's a Paralympian. Her name is Mary Jordan. She has multiple sclerosis, and she has been on our shows for 8 years now. And she is shooting for the 2016 Rio Paralympics in dressage. And she's also a big advocate in helping to fight MS. And she's working with a couple of the drug companies. She really does some amazing work on the MS front. But she also is an unbelievable rider, and she's a mom and a wife, and she does all of this stuff, and she's just a terrific lady. So it's neat to see her get some love from the mainstream press. That's Mary Jordan is her name, and we wish her the best of luck in her run up to 2016.
Wow, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's a neat lady. I really enjoyed working with her. The times I've had to spend with her and actually had some time to spend with her, and I couldn't happen to anybody better. Good for her. Do you want to, speaking of which, so we don't get off the topic that the movie guys really love.
I was just Googling that they're saying now that they have never proven that being a crypt orchid or a ridgeling is genetic. Sorry. I might have been wrong.
And now we all know more about that topic than we ever wanted to. I have a study show for you. We're running out of time in May, so I have my May study show. And one of these is going to keep right on track with our conversation here. Are you ready for May study show?
And yeah, boy.
What we
it's
do
the
here.
Last day of May. Let's do it.
I look through all of the Google, basically news stories for the last month, and I just Google study show, and this is what we find. We're giving you the headlines. We don't read the stories because the headlines just say it all. And keep in mind that people actually spend money on these studies, and that is the crux of the whole thing. So here we go. Study show. Are you feeling down? Studies show exercise can help.
Now I think chocolate and wine help.
Yeah. Studies show doing mushrooms might help alleviate depression.
Oh, my God. Hey, you're depressed? Do drugs, kids.
That little ad, I wonder who answered that ad. We would like to do a study on doing mushrooms. Who wants to volunteer? Come on in. Oof. And who got the placebo? And what's a mushroom placebo look like? Like a portobello? I mean, is that what it looks
like? I've actually seen people do mushrooms before, and I think that looks like the worst thing ever.
It's never
good.
It looks
like a mushroom covered in like cow poop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, and the people on them usually are pretty whacked out.
They're pretty stupid.
Yeah. New studies show certain foods used to combat Alzheimer's. Well, that's a good one. Decades of studies show what happens to marriages after having kids.
Can I see those decades of studies, please?
I thought you might want the link to that one.
Thanks. Send that over.
And now to keep the movie guys happy, penis studies show that penis reconstruction is life-altering for men.
Oh, my God. They spent money on that study? Hey, I have a small penis. Boom! Here's the surgery that gives you a big penis. Wow, my life is altered.
Unless you're a Ridgeling, of course.
Unless you're a Ridgeling.
New studies show why red wine and dark chocolate is good for gut biodiversity.
For butt. That's funny. Yes. Says that.
But
red wine and dark chocolate. See,
yeah,
feeling
red wine
down.
And dark chocolate. Yeah.
Have
it's
that.
It's good for you. It's good for your gut. Yep. You know, they should add that to Omega Alpha's lineup.
It might be in there.
It might be in there.
It might be in there. You know, in that equine chill.
Equine chill.
Probably red wine and dark chocolate.
There you go. Studies show airfare, gas prices down for summer vacation season. Well, that's good. Studies show that your friends don't actually like you.
What?
Studies show that your friends don't actually like you. That's pretty
Google
evident a lot
one.
Of times on Facebook, isn't it? It's pretty Let's evident. See.
You're like, why didn't I get any more likes? Than
yeah,
that?
Exactly. Exactly. And Nobody don't we all likes? Still look to see how many likes we get on posts? Be honest.
Oh, my brother like will post things that are funny on a Monday morning. He's like, you get more likes if you post it on a Monday morning.
There you go.
I'm like, you're bizarre.
Studies show that 50 Shades of Grey fans are most likely to be sexist.
Okay. Let me just stop you for a second since you brought up that movie.
Oh, you watched it?
Have you seen that movie?
No, we have not seen it. I heard it was a terrible movie.
I watched it. Chad's gone. And so we had HBO free for a weekend. Yeah,
you and Lucas curled up to 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, dear God. He was in bed for that one. Okay. So he's asleep. I recorded off HBO because we got like that free HBO for the weekend. So I record like 50 movies that I've always wanted to see. And that was one of them. So I turned it on. Like, I got a glass of wine. I'm sitting down in front of the TV. That might have been the worst movie I have ever seen in my entire life. Who is a fan of 50 Shades of Grey? Because that was, number one, uber bizarre. Number two, it was like the worst storyline. Number three, the ending was horrible. It's just so weird. It was really weird. I will say that the man who played whoever was uber hot. I mean, but he did not redeem the movie, but he was beautiful. Oh my gosh, whoever that was. But anyway, point being, that was terrible.
Well, apparently the books were better, and they're making the second movie now. So the
really?
Second one's coming out. Yeah,
Christian Grey. That's who it is. Christian. Yep. No, that's it. Was terrible.
Hey, you went to see. Speaking of movie reviews, you went to see the biggest movie of the weekend. Not. Tell us about your adventures at the movie with Lucas.
Well, first of all, this sucker's going to win an Oscar. There is no way that Angry Birds is not taking over the world. It's like the cinematic genius. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? It actually wasn't terrible, I'll say, because there's an Angry Birds TV show that he watches on Netflix, and all they do is grunt, and like the birds chirp and they grunt. It sounds like the video game, like literally the same as video game. This actually was pretty funny. Like the... one of the birds is the actual voice that was Olaf in Frozen. They're all very famous actors that are doing the voices, and it was pretty good. I'm not going to say it was terrible.
Wow.
I laughed a couple times out loud. I wouldn't, you know, go back to see it again, but as far as taking kids to kids' movies, it wasn't so
bad.
Is
Lucas wanting to watch it 87,000 times now?
Of course. He wants to come. All he wanted to do was get the iPad and play Angry Birds on the way home. Now he's obsessed with playing.
Well, now Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 43% out of 100. Is that about where you'd be?
I might move that up to about 55%. I mean, 60%. It wasn't terrible. Now, like, I saw the movie Inside Out, and that was terrible. Did you ever see that?
No.
Oh, it was terrible.
It seems to be a thing now to make movies out of video games, so doesn't it? It's become a thing. Yeah.
Maybe.
They're doing it with all of these shoot 'em up games, too.
Well, it was basically Angry Birds was the story of Angry Birds, kind of the video game. And I don't know. I mean, kind of the backstory on why you're trying to kill pigs and steal eggs and whatever.
You know, this leads perfectly. You are the great at transitions today, because this leads perfectly into the final study show. Studies show what all gamers knew. Video game addiction leads to sleep deprivation.
Oh, dear God. It's true.
So there you go. We needed to study that. I could have told you that without this. Spending,
you know, who's not getting video games? My child is not getting video games.
But he was already playing Angry Birds.
On my iPad. But that's not a video game. I consider video games like when they're standing and they're wearing the headphones and they've got, like, you know, the guns in their hand and they're shooting things. Like, that's video games.
Oh, he'll be at his friends playing video games in no time.
No, he won't.
He'll be there playing video games.
We don't shoot things in this house.
Yeah, okay.
you're not buying that, are you?
No, considering your husband pretty much was shooting things for a living. Yeah,
he's an airline pilot now, Glenn. He's softened. He's changed.
Yeah, how's that going, by the way?
The airline pilot thing.
Yeah, how's the training going?
I think it was a little hard for the first 2 weeks, but he's got it now. Not, I say that. He'd be like, this is impossible. Shut up. I can't believe you said that. But it seems like he didn't think he'd be able to come home this weekend because he thought he'd be studying too much. And he's kind of like understanding it now.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he was able to come home.
That learning curve.
Yeah. These guys that do this stuff, they all have very big brains.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we're not airline pilots. And we're just sitting here chatting on a show.
Yep.
Yeah.
Trying to kill time till
this does not require. This does not require a big brain.
No.
So I give you a choice for songs today. You can have Jared Rodgerson, Addicted, which kind of fits right in with today's topic. Or we can go with Campfire. I'll give you a choice today. Did I lose you?
I'm waiting for the choices. You only told me one.
I give you two. Yep.
Oh. So Addicted and Campfire?
Yeah. What couple we haven't heard in a while.
I know I like Addicted. I don't know Campfire, so let's play Campfire.
Oh, okay.
See, I threw you off there.
You tricked me there.
I did. I
wasn't expecting that. well, oh, you know what?
Oh,
Campfire is now not playing.
Oh, no. Okay, well, I really want to hear Addicted.
Addicted.
First choice.
Thank you. Thank you for picking Addicted.
Tried to warn me, stay away from that powerful stuff. My dad said, son, if you get started, you won't ever be able to stop. Well, look at me now, I'm doing fine. I'm happy to admit, I don't believe that hype. You know, I got a good life, but they say that I'm addicted. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well, I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, but I would never hurt anyone. I've always been the kind to be in control. I tell you that in my defense, 'cause the kind of Bronx I've been drawn lately's got me questioning my common sense. Addiction's a form of weakness, I know that to be true. You're gonna pay for a habit, I pray I don't have it, just between me and you. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not, I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. It's broken bones and bruises and self-induced to pieces that'll never hurt anyone. I've been thinking of slowing down to spend some more time at home. So she don't have to be alone. I ran into Em Richie the other day. I asked him if he guessed the itch. I said, it's 20 years since you've been on a bull. I guess you finally got it licked. Then his eyes went wild and he started to shake. He said, it hits him every spring. Said, thanks, Eb, you're not helping me any. Now I got a Hakadime ring. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well, I really thought that I could quit it anytime I want. Now I'm sitting here jonesing for a rodeo, might as well be liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, and I would never give enough. Well, I blew all my money, and that ain't fun, 'cause I just can't give it up.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson with Addicted. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings on a weird Tuesday show. We're not usually here on Tuesday, but there's five Tuesdays in this month. And we also had a holiday yesterday, so we just thought we'd do a show for you today. We will be back again tomorrow and doing the usual Wednesday stuff. So we hope you can join us then as well.
I have a list if you want a
sure.
list, Glenn.
Shoot.
Okay. You know, it's my child's birthday. He's three today. It's a special day here in the Jennings household. And there's pre-child, the horse is the kid, you know? And so I've learned that there are differences in horses and children, but then there's a lot of similarities. And I found this list called 11 Reasons Why an Equestrian's Horse is Also Their Child. So, let's see if I agree now that I have both and have had both. Let's see if we agree with this. All right. Number one, they consume all of your time and money.
Check.
Yes. Check and check. We'll do the comparison with kids. Do you know how much it costs just to have like a simple birthday party? It's expensive. If you want to get any decorations.
Those vegan hot dogs are expensive.
Yes, they are, Glenn. Yes, they are. Number two, you are your horse's number one caregiver. Just like it's a parent's job to care for their children, a horse owner is responsible for their horse's health and wellness. So, obviously, duh. I mean, unless you board your horse and you see it once every 2 months, then you're pretty much it. You're in charge. Number three, if you're a parent or a horse owner, you're overprotective.
How I hadn't many of noticed us that.
Have wanted to bubble wrap their horse?
I yes. noticed one. I'm going to call her out on the carpet here a little bit. One of our auditors, Chantel, posted that she was doing the switch, you know, where you switch them from being in the stalls, daytime, nighttime, the whole daytime, nighttime switch for summertime. Well, she was starting to put them out at night, and she said she was just fretting all night long that her horses were okay.
Oh, bless her heart. Yeah, it's stressful. I'm not going to lie, because I'm going to have to go to the daytime turnout here in a minute, and it stresses me out.
Yep, see, it does. I mean, it's just, anytime you switch them like that, you're always expecting the worst, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, that's true.
And that's because they've proven to do the worst in the past.
Of course they have. Yeah, we don't make this stuff up. No. We're trained.
That's right.
It's just like with kids. You know, that you're overprotective because, like, you don't really feel like going to the ER on a Saturday morning because of a freaking bee sting.
Right.
Okay. Number four, horses throw tantrums, just like children. This article says, my horse definitely went through a terrible twos phase, except for it went on for 4 years. Oh, I don't really remember my horse throwing a tantrum. I mean, well, Jet did. That's called bucking. And the kid, oh dear God.
Every 5 minutes.
Did you read my post about the watermelon?
Yes. Tell that story. That was funny.
Oh my God. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with children? Mommy, cut the watermelon. Cut the watermelon. Can you cut the watermelon? Please cut the watermelon. Watermelon, please cut the watermelon. Cut the watermelon. Cut the watermelon. I'm like, okay. I'll freaking cut the watermelon. So I cut the watermelon. He sits there with me. He sits right next to me, watching me cut the watermelon. I cut it. I'm using the melon baller through the whole thing. Here I am. Boom. Here's your bowl of watermelon. I don't want any watermelon. I don't want any watermelon. Like, oh my God. Are you freaking kidding me? Children's tantrums are worse than horses. I don't care who you are. And that's number five, is just like children, they save their tantrums just for you. My babysitter, my boarder, Abby, she said to Chad last night, she said, your child is so much worse when you're not here. They just like, I guess, regularity in their day. And so, yeah. Oh, Jennifer just typed to me, do they make dually halters for kids? I should look into that. Glenn, are you still here or did you leave us?
I'm still here. I was laughing.
Okay. Okay. Number six, and this is so true. You know all of your horse's friends. Just like you know your kids' friends, you know all of your horse's friends. You know, like, I turned Duke out in the pasture, but he doesn't really get along with Edward. He'd much rather be next to Chili, but like if Chili's not out there, he'll kind of deal with Joey. But like if Joey's out there and Edward's out there, then Edward and Joey are like a clique and Duke can't play. Yeah. Oh my God. Isn't that the truth, Glenn?
Yeah, it's the truth.
You know who's friends with who. God, isn't this the truth? Number seven, your horse takes over your social media.
Oh yeah. And your kids.
And your kids do too. Pretty much, you know what? My horse has his own page and my kid does not. So
there you go.
Who takes over my social?
Says it all. Well, they are, you know, they're our kids. It's where we spend all of our time. You post what you spend all of your time doing, right? I'm sure golfers post pictures of golf courses.
That's true. That's true.
Although I don't have any golfing friends, so I don't know. Oh,
my
maybe
husband
they don't.
Golfs.
Maybe it's just us stupid horse people that are posting pictures of our horses all the time. I don't know.
My husband golfs, but he doesn't do social media. So I can't really back that story up. You have countless nicknames for him. That's number eight about your horse. You have countless nicknames. Number nine is they embarrass you. Yes, they always embarrass you. And number 10, seeing your horse succeed without you makes you proud. What does that mean? This person had to lease their horse out when they went to college. I'm like, I don't want to see my horse succeed without me. Yeah. We're a team.
Although it is fun, like with the Beaker story this morning, when you sell a horse and That's you see true. Them doing good things, you are kind of proud that they didn't dump the guy in the ocean and drown him.
That's true. Right? That is true. You're right. Because I've seen pictures of Jet from over the weekend. Jet's owner's pregnant. So the husband's been riding him. And I'm like, who is this Western Pleasure quarter horse you guys are riding? It's ridiculous. So you're right. It does make you happy to see them do without you.
I was trying to locate Leslie here, and apparently she's having trouble with her Skype. So we're going to have to give her a call on air on her phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think we're having trouble. Of course, I'm not sure I have her phone number. Let's give this a try.
Leslie, you're on the air. Call her.
There we go. Let's try that. See if that works.
You want me to take this?
Yeah, you take it. Maybe we're going to get her an answer machine.
Is this Leslie?
Hey.
Leslie, congratulations. You win a brand new car. Just kidding. You're on the air. Don't cuss.
Don't cuss.
How you doing?
Oh, man. I'm great. How are you guys?
Very disappointed she hasn't won the brand new car, but...
Yeah. Exactly. Glenn's going to write you a check for that. You can get with how's it going? Are you back in the United States?
Yeah, I'm here for a good long while. I think the next event I'm going to is Rebecca Farm. Which I'm so excited about. That's the event in Montana, and I've never been to Montana before.
Oh my gosh, you're never gonna want to leave. Once you see it's I mean, I've never been there, and I've wanted to compete there so many times. And everybody who's from Arizona and all them, they all drive up there, and it's like really? 2 day plus drive. But apparently, it's that beautiful and that fun of an event.
She's going to need that Google Translator, though. She lives in the hills of Tennessee, where Southern accents are the thickest. She's going to get up there to Montana and not understand a damn word they're saying.
Does Montana have an accent?
They have a little bit of that Midwestern accent.
They?
Yeah.
We have cowboys. They have cowboys, right?
Glenn doesn't know what he's talking about.
I forgot you speak cowboy, Leslie. I forgot that. Yeah.
Speak cowboy. Yeah.
Now, Leslie, you guys had a very busy week over on Horse Nation. You're back and things are rolling again. And what is your opinion of Frederick, the most handsome horse in the world?
This has been everywhere, Leslie. CNN, ABC, CBS, everybody had this most handsome horse declared story.
Yeah, what is the story of this horse? I don't know, but it keeps popping up everywhere. People keep posting it on my Facebook wall. Seems like whatever. My opinion is, it's a pretty sexy horse. I'm gonna go with that.
Well, he's a black Frisian with a mane like down to his knees.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, who wants to comb that mess? And it's all curly. Kind of looks like Farrah Fawcett in the 70s, actually. Or Fabio. Mm-hmm. Maybe more like Fabio. Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of flutters in the breeze. And
it actually kind of looks kind of girly. I'm just saying. Kind of does look girly with the mane. No, everything else, the chest the size of a Hercules, but the mane kind of girly. It's all curly.
Okay.
Look, how does he even know where he's going? Look at him cantering in this photo. He's got he's just cantering blind through a wall of hair, a forelock, right?
Okay, this is so bizarre. Okay, so basically, this is great social media world here, because if you claim something and you can back it up, you can own that. And so now, basically the owners have decided he's the most beautiful horse, and they shared it around the internet, and look at it. The comments on the social media is what is very frightening, because there are probably a lot of non-horse people that go, wow, this is a lot of hair to comb. They probably, non-horse people see it and go, oh my God, he's so beautiful. And they don't think about having to finger comb all that hair. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One person's comment was, and these are just comments on from the various social media platforms that Frederick has mm-hmm. been shared. Mm-hmm. When I die, I want to be cremated and put in a pretty little vial necklace and hang around the neck of a beautiful horse like Frederick's for a few days so I can say I rode with the wind.
What?
Are you kidding me? What is that? What does that mean?
You know that story we had earlier about people on mushrooms? There was one of them right
that
there.
Can I point out that this horse, Frederick, is not going to run with the wind if he has a choice. He's a draft horse. He's going to graze. Like, he's not. They're chasing him.
So, man. What is the did the internet just run out of content? Is this what happened?
Oh, no. Hey, it got horses some press. Did do that.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
Did do that.
Now, tell us about the 52 Thoroughbreds post. Oh, my gosh. If everybody doesn't get it shared on their page at least once every 3 months, then you're not doing something right. The 52 Thoroughbreds was initially that post that went around that 52 Thoroughbreds in Ohio needed a home. The owner died, and they were all untrained racehorses. And it was very true. We actually talked to Jackie from Stonegate Farm. She ended up adopting two of them, Jack and Jill. They've gone on to be great eventers. But this was years ago. And this post continually goes around. Now, you found a spoof of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, Kristen dug this up somewhere. It's been circulating around. It's a photo of briar horses and boxes, and it says 52 free briar horses. At least it's not thoroughbreds this time. But once again, as with Frederick the sexy Frisian, really half of the entertainment is the comments they're rolling after something like this shows up. People actually spoofing the comments on the, you know, that you always see attached to the 52 free thoroughbreds post. Let's see. So this is the message that goes. There's 52 briar horses that need homes. If homes aren't found by Saturday, they will be melted down. Please don't let these innocent lives be lost. If you or someone you know can help, please call blah, blah, blah and ask for Jenny. So people are actually taking this. Don't you know that a briar is for life? Those poor babies having to be rehomed. Let's see.
Those poor babies are naked and cold. I know somebody who makes briar horse clothes.
Yeah,
I'll set up a GoFundMe page.
Yeah. Good job, internet. Good job.
That's awesome. Now, tell everybody about Billy the horse.
Yeah, this has been a big week for horses and the internet. Billy the horse is another horse that popped up last week on behalf of in promotion of the 2016 Olympics. Billy the horse has an impossible dream, and that is competing in the Olympics, but not necessarily in sports that you would imagine a horse could participate in.
You're not going to see him in the show jumping department divisions or like the dressage. Why? Because what sport does he want to attempt, or what has he attempted already?
You know, archery, wrestling. I think he's going to try them all. I don't know how I feel about this media campaign, but I mean, again, you know, like Lynn said, at least it's putting horses in the spotlight. There's that.
And he has a beautiful lightning bolt down his forehead, and people were like, "Is that a real lightning bolt or is that paint?" It's paint.
Real.
It's paint.
It's definitely real. Jamie, it's real.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now we had a lot of people share this post on the page with me because mm-hmm. everybody wanted me to read this out loud on our radio show. And I thought that we should have Lorraine on to read it. And it's the post about, it's called An Open Love Letter to Lonnie, the Weirdest Racehorse Ever. Isn't that
you
the
really
truth?
Do need to have Lorraine on to do a dramatic reading of this entire letter she wrote to Lonnie, whom she has dubbed the weirdest racehorse ever. He had a interesting performance in the Preakness and has had an interesting lead up to the Preakness. It's all, his story is very endearing to Lorraine, and she has written him a love letter.
It is fantastic. It's fantastic. It's a great, great letter. He's the horse that, you know, they didn't let him do the post parade because he was out there already. They don't saddle him up mm-hmm. with the other ones because he's just super mm-hmm. quirky. And so she wrote a letter about it. And I think Glenn wants me to read it after we
do. Do you want to do that or get Lorraine on? Either way.
What do you think, Glenn? Can we get Lorraine on, or do we just want to get it over with?
Well, you know, we're here now. I haven't read it yet. I want to hear the letter. Do you mind if Jamie reads it?
This is the single, maybe the single best thing we've ever published on Horse Nation, by the way. So, I really do think so.
I'm going to try to do it justice. Sorry, Lorraine, if okay. I screw up. But yeah, Glenn, we need to do it now.
Okay, let's do it.
Got to do it.
All right. I wish I had background
love
music.
Can't wait.
This is an open love letter to Lonnie, the weirdest racehorse ever. Dear Lonnie, the Preakness has come and gone, but I'm still feeling the euphoria. Not from the triumphant upset of a commanding performance by Exaggerator, or from the awe of watching 11 powerful horses slog through the mud in historic conditions. No, not even from the epic excitement that is watching the running of the porta potties on the infield. No, I'm riding the high of the Tokyo Drifter, the Harajuku girl gone horsey, the sushi laced with acid that you are, my little gray friend. You crazy. On the outset, your life looked totally normal. You were born in Kentucky like most other Triple Crown contenders, the son of Champion Tappet, and I assume you drank milk and ate bluegrass just like everybody else did. Or did you? Because after that, things got weird. You shipped out to Japan, which isn't altogether unusual with the burgeoning racing and betting universe that is this there. You had some predictable starts as well as some less predictable ones, like the time you won two races 6 days apart at the end of your two-year-old year. Then your connections were like, I know, what if we ship him to America? But we stop on the way in Dubai, not on the way at all, and catch a race on the World Cup card and then go to America. And everybody thought this was a great idea. But like, since you're the weirdest horse in the world, you didn't think this was weird at all and went ahead and won the United Arab UAE Derby. You probably had a shot at the Kentucky Derby too, except in this case, that whole weirdest horse ever thing meant you had a rambunctiously terrible start, breaking slow, bumping into people, and then taking the widest, longest route to the finish in Kentucky Derby history.
He pretty much was in the stands, wasn't he? I
mean, he was on the outside rail. I like to think that someone was holding a mint julep out for you on the outside rail like they do at marathons, and you just really needed one. Who could blame you? We all need a drink on a big day. So it didn't work out, but I held on for hope in the Preakness. You arrived Thursday morning before the Preakness, literally hours from the mandatory cutoff time. I heaved a sigh of relief and I hoped I would get a peek at you, but was instead greeted with the sight of completely closed barn doors as your connection says, the isolation keeps him calm. That's not horsey at all. The weirdness continued as the media sneaked your adoring fans little tidbits. As tradition with Japanese racing, you would take extended workouts of long gallops with intermittent long sprints. Okay, not that weird, except apparently you were getting pretty excited about your workouts. Sometimes just fresh and rambunctious. Other times, well, a different kind of excited. The kind of excited where poor photographers have to Photoshop things before they send them on to NBC affiliates. Then The day of your final morning workout, you said, you know what? If I'm going to be the weirdest racehorse in the race, wouldn't the weirdest thing just to be like, not race? Let's try it. I'm not going to race today. And you literally refused to work out the day before the Preakness. And the clouds parted and the birds sang for your weirdness. And your connections were completely unsure if they loaded you into that starting gate the next day, if you would run or maybe just saunter off and get your hair did. The suspense. Finally, the race. You skipped the post parade and went straight for the gate so you could keep your mojo, where you then immediately refused to enter said gate and then tried to murder some people. Did you see him kick like that? That's my favorite line. So the race starts. You immediately swipe left and bump into the future winner as he leaves you in the dust, which, in what has to be said, the most gangly, slow, awkward start by a horse in stakes race history in the 21st century. If James Franco were a jockey and rode Seth Rogen like a horse and they left the starting gate of the Preakness, I think their first furlong sprint would have been faster and more majestic. After that, it all gets a little hazy because A, it was raining on the lens of every Preakness camera, and B, for the first minute of the race, you're so far behind that literally the camera cannot capture you in the same frame as the other horses. So, did you have a good trip? I don't know. You were dead last, right up until you weren't. You don't make a move until the final turn, and then you careen down the stretch, weaving between horses and nearly running people over left and right, and had that race been a 16th of a mile longer, I guarantee that your crazy little broken head would have been in the very damn front of the pack, because you crazy, Lonnie. Your final placing in the Preakness belies what you've nearly accomplished, in spite of being a horse who probably should be institutionalized and living in a horsey straitjacket. Like so many other misunderstood artists of your time, people fail to grasp your work and are lost in the crazy of it. Like Kanye West trying to treat the creator of Facebook, you know, on Twitter. It doesn't make sense, but we guarantee Mark Zuckerberg heard about it. I've heard what you have to say, Lonnie, and I'm rooting for you in the Belmont with all your crazy antics. Inbox me a tweet on the Instagram, yo. Love your biggest American fan, Lorraine.
What a incredible.
Well done, Lorraine. Well done. And well read, Jamie. Well read.
Thanks. I take no credit. That's awesome.
God, you guys had, yeah. I mean, you have tens of thousands of views on that thing, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it went a little, I think, you know, people did not know the true Lonnie until Lorraine wrote this and you know, really showcased his inner beauty, his inner crazy,
When they were picking the draw of the Kentucky Derby, because I watched it on TV, I think in the Kentucky Derby, he drew like post position number 8. And mm-hmm. the announcers were like, all right, well, the horses and connections in 7 and 9 are going to be very upset about that.
Yes, exactly. He looks like he's drunk. The horse looks like he's drunk.
So beautiful, yeah. Though. Oh my God.
Yeah. He just is all over the place, weaving. And can you imagine being the jockey on that horse, just trying to keep him from just killing you and everything else in sight? And he can kick. That horse can kick.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love it. You tried to murder people. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Like, even the announcer was like, well, those guys they're good at their jobs. Like,
Leslie, this sounds like the kind of horse you would get after retirement for eventing.
Yeah. Sounds like, oh, yeah, good to me. Yeah,
sounds like your ideal
like
eventing
kind of
horse.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. Well, Leslie Wiley, what do you have planned for this next week? Are you riding again? Are you doing anything with your horses?
I am riding. I've got two sort of retired horses, but I've been riding my 26-year-old Arabian. Aww.
Bless his heart. we've talked about him a lot. You know?
Yeah. And I've been pony shopping. literally pony shopping. Yeah, I went to look at a couple of ponies last week. So I
ponies don't know. For you or ponies for somebody else?
Pony for me.
Like,
I never had a pony when I was a kid. I mean, like, being 5'2" does not have too many advantages, but I think maybe one is being able to ride a pony.
That's so cool. So just because you just decided to get a pony because.
Yeah. A little sports car. A little sports
That's
pony.
Awesome. Get yourself a little pony Mustang. Double down.
I think I'm having a midlife crisis. I think that might be what's happening. Like, some people buy sports cars, you know, like ridiculous sports cars, and I just want like a little sporty little zoom zoom pony.
And how does your husband feel about this midlife crisis?
He's pretty supportive. As usual.
Well, you know what? It's either that or an affair, and probably that's the better of the two.
It's the better of the two, yeah. Yeah, I texted him. I literally, you know, this is sort of a relatively new revelation that I was going to get myself the pony that, you know, I've always wanted and I deserve, and that Santa never brought me. You remember how upset I got?
Yes,
about that?
I remember how upset you were.
You know?
Pretty much you're still holding that grudge, Mom and Dad.
Clearly. So now I'm just going to get myself. They take that, Santa. I'm going to get myself a pony.
You go, girl.
I don't need you.
So are you looking for a I don't recommend a Hackney, by the way. Are you mm-hmm. looking for a particular breed or just any kind of mixed up pony?
Not any particular breed. I think I've looked at a Welsh cross.
Well, you know, most Mustangs come in pony.
They do.
And if you want to be one of the cool kids like Jamie and Elisa.
Oh my gosh. I'm as
Do it.
Will you help me pony shop?
Oh my god. I'll send you 400 Mustangs by 9 a.m. How about that?
Literally.
Okay, they have to be 14-2 or under.
Of course.
That's the criteria. Okay.
I know what a pony is, but I'm not new.
And they need to have a perfect lightning bolt on their head.
Well, you know, they may not have a lightning bolt on their head, but their attitude might mm-hmm. reflect lightning.
Okay. Yeah. Lightning bolt. Yeah. That's negotiable. Ideally, if it has like a long mane, like a Frederick. That'd be cool.
So combine,
or maybe I'll just adopt one of those 52 free briar horses that are desperately in need of home.
That's bringing it all back home. Let's wrap the show. You just touched on every one of the Horse Nation stories today. That's self promotion at its finest. Congratulations. Good job.
Or Lonnie. Lonnie, my first pick. He's not a pony, but you know he's a. Yeah, as we said, he's up my alley.
Yep. Leslie likes to be kicked with both back feet on a regular basis. She likes that. Bye, Leslie.
Bye.
HorseNation.com.
Bye. Good luck. I'll send you some Mustang. Lucas.
You know, it's not often that you hear an adult say, "I want a pony," except for me.
What'd you say, Glenn?
It's not often that you hear an adult eventer saying, "I want a pony, not a horse."
Hi, Glenn.
Well, hi, Lucas.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Lucas. How's your bee sting?
Happy birthday, Glenn.
Happy birthday, Lucas. Happy birthday.
It's happy birthday.
He's off. That was it. That's all I get.
He found a present like without even that we hadn't even wrapped yet. He's found it.
Of course he did.
He got his first present.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Good times.
All right.
I'm going to go try to sweep my floors and finish making cakes.
Well, have fun at the party today, and we'll see everybody tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld. Have a great day. Happy birthday, Lucas.